Come on. Come out. The procession passes tonight. You pull on your warm brown shoes as you wander out the door. It is January 11th. On the sidewalk, you are greeted by a sea of people from many walks of life. Guards line the side of the road dressed in black vests. A deathly white bus, decked with flowers, slowly leads the parade of black cars. Black. It is Joe and Lai's funeral, and the nation is mourning. There is no coordination of colored clothing, no organized exhibition of sadness, only respectful silence as the people shed their tears in the street. The silence. It is almost painfully unbearable. It is almost unnaturally eerie. The tension in the air is as taut as stretched silk, seemingly ready to snap into grieving shouts at any moment. But somehow, it doesn't. No matter how hard sadness strains to break out of its beating cage, the people keep it locked away in their hearts. It is a silent mourning. A respectful mourning. An honest mourning. A beautiful mourning. A united mourning. A mourning brought on by the spirit of the people rather than the state. It is a repressed mourning.
Zhou Enlai was good to us civilians, you hear people whisper in the streets.
He looked out for us.
He cared for us the way no other leader did.
He was a good man.
He was one of us.
That is the consensus at Zhou Enlai's funeral. You watch him pass down from Tiananmen Square, down Chang'an Street, down out to his resting place beyond the outskirts of Beijing. Sleep well, beloved Premier. Quickly, quickly, come with me. You must attend the memorial commemoration. It is April 5th, Tomb Sweeping Day, a day to honor those who have passed on. Your elementary school empties out onto Chang'an Street and marches towards Tiananmen Square. Several children carry a funeral wreath larger than 10 of their little bodies combined. It is covered in large white flowers, the color of death. It's the most beautiful wreath you've ever seen. At the entrance to the square, a group of civilian guards, servants of Madame Mao's gang of four, halt your procession of classmates. You cannot all come in, they state. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. 10 of the finest students at your elementary school are selected to bear the funeral wreath. You must feel so proud to be one of them. Slowly you walk across the square. Your destination seems miles away from your perspective. Slowly you take in the view around you. Notice the calligraphers writing passionate poems. Slowly you lower the wreath before the People's Monument. Several other large wreaths lie around it, surrounded by multiple smaller ones. They are so fragrant, so beautiful, laden with white and yellow flowers that rustle in the breeze, swaying, swaying, swaying. Were you saddened to hear that the party tore away those wreaths, shredded those flowers that brought only beauty to this world? How could you know that Zhou Enlai's moderate standings brought him at odds with the Communist Party? How could you know that the Gang of Four was using the death of Zhou Enlai as an opportunity to seize more power? How could you know that the death of Zhou Enlai inspired the voices of the people to cry for a free China, an open China? Do you even know what the Cultural Revolution is at 6 years old? Crash, smash, bang! There is rioting in the square. Crash, smash, bang, the police are fighting back. Crash, smash, bang, chaos fills the air. No one died that day. Not this time around. Come on, come out. The procession passes tonight. You grab a small paper fan and wander out the door into the stiff summer heat. It is July 6th. It is Marshal Judah's funeral. But you don't think much of it. It pales in comparison to the events that have occurred before, and the events that are to come. Half a year has passed by. How much more must a nation suffer?
Get up. Get out. Do you want to live?
Immediately, you bolt out the door, stopping only to grab your coat. The ground shakes in great tremors. Just about all the residents in your compound are shaking with fright as they race out with you. A crowd of people swarms onto the sidewalk of Chang'an Street like a colony of ants. It is July 28th. Nobody returns to their compounds immediately after the Tangshan earthquake ends. The walls are cracked. Tiles are falling down. Tiles are falling all around. They fall unexpectedly. Thwack. They fall expectedly. Thwack. They fall when you return inside to cook your meals. Thwack. But mostly, they fall when no one is inside. Thwack. No one stays in their compounds anymore. They are scared that their homes might collapse. They prefer to huddle together like a herd of sheep on the streets. You prop your coat up with two sticks to sleep beneath at night. Beijing nights are quite warm in the summer. Soon enough, Chang'an Street turns into a city of tents. Some tents are made of cloth, but most are made of plastic tarps or coats, like yours. There are big tents, small tents, red tents, green tents, tents with patched-up holes, tents that billow in the wind, all sorts of tents, packed densely together. A day goes by. Can I go inside? Then another. When will we return home? Then another. Who's going to fix the walls? Time seems to be swimming in an internal loop as the days pass by. By the time everyone starts returning to their compounds, it's the end of August. A month has been spent out on the streets. It feels like an eternity has passed, but at the same time, it feels like nothing has changed. Come on, come out. A great tragedy has arisen tonight. You button up your white polo shirt and pull on your blue trousers before shuffling out the door. It is September 9th. Your grandfather walks you to his workplace, sobbing uncontrollably. Everyone in the street is sobbing uncontrollably. They scream otherworldly screams and cry otherworldly cries. There is wholehearted sadness from the bottom of the soul of every man and woman. You start feeling dizzy. Inside your grandfather's workplace, a crowd consisting of both those who are on shift and those who should be at home gathers around a small brown box. The room is no quieter than the world outside. A black and white image moves across the little box. Official-looking men take turns bowing before a casket. The moment you see the deceased man's face, a quiver escapes your lips, and you burst into tears. You've learned about this great leader at school. It's Mao Zedong's funeral, and the nation is mourning. Mourning for their dear leader. Mourning for a god. How could a god die? He was a great god, the best god, the true god, the only god, a benevolent god, the highest god, the god whose face hangs on the walls of every compound, the god that built a nation, the god who brought salvation to his people. Wait, but what happens after a god dies?
Listen here. Listen carefully. Did you hear what happened?
You stand up from your bed and walk into the courtyard. A group of adults gathers around a corner, whispering among themselves. Their faces are solemn as stone. It is October 6th. There are rumors in the air that the Gang of Four and several other officials have been imprisoned as political dissenters. Madame Mao and Mao's nephew have been imprisoned. There is no Mao Zedong to protect them now. When a god dies, the world they created crumbles. At first, the populace believes the rumors to be nothing more than a hoax. But those rumors kept growing. They grow and grow to a point where they overwhelm the populace's disbelief with shock. And eventually, after they are confirmed, jubilant celebrations explode throughout the city. Within the world, within Asia,
Within a small nation called China, the Cultural Revolution, the years of societal purge and heritage erasure, has finally come to an end. There will be no more teacher beatings, no more struggle sessions, no more looting and burning, no more deportations to the countryside. And most importantly, the nation will finally open its doors to the world. It is finally over. But is anything truly over? But that question isn't something a person like you thinks about. None of the children care much for the imprisonment of the Gang of Four. I'd even go as far as to say many of them don't even know what the Gang of Four is. But they know something wonderful happened. They know it from the joy they see in the faces of the adults. You see it, that joy sprawled across your mother's face as she dances in the street. It is that smile she gives you that makes you believe that, even with its many sorrows, this year was a beautiful year. And it was a beautiful year. A bitterly beautiful year. A strange but beautiful year. It was the year 1976.